I called. His wife answered the phone. She said, "Thurman, I'm so glad you called. My husband's having a heart attack." I said, "Wrong confession. Wrong confession." I said, "Woman, repent. What did the Lord say you'll have if you say it with your mouth? Where is your miracle? In your mouth and in your heart." I said, "Wrong confession. Repent. Tell God you're sorry. Your husband's not having a heart attack." I said, "Where is he?" She said, "He's right here." Put him on the phone. He come on the phone and said, "Thurman, I need you to pray for me. I think I'm having a heart attack." I said, "Well, this kind of confession, I ain't no way nobody can get nobody healed around this place." I said, "Your confession's got to change." And so after about 20 or 30 minutes with him on the phone, getting his confession changed, telling him, "Hey, I am healed. Jesus, He bore my sickness. He removed my disease. I'm not having any problem. I'm healed in the name of Jesus." He said, "You know, I even feel 100% better." I said, "But you don't go by feeling. You go by what's written. You know, you don't go by your symptoms. If you allow yourself to go by symptoms, oh yeah, the devil will walk in there. He'll reach right in your chest, reaching. Ah! I must be having a heart attack." The devil's, "Attaboy, that's exactly what I wanted you to say." Either that or you say, "Oh, something wrong inside there." He gets his little flip chart out and says, "You think you have a heart attack? No, no. How about a kidney failure? No. How about a liver failure?" "Well, my mother died with a liver failure. Maybe that's it." He said, "That's it. I'll put that on you. That'll be good." And he'll put whatever you confess. I'm serious. The devil will do that to you. In fact, I know a doctor that is a cardiologist that he has written a book, and he's in this book. He has written this little book called Hung by Your Tongue. That's the name of the book. Anybody read that book? Nobody read the book, Hung by Your Tongue? Okay, got one back there. This cardiologist says that when he started checking people, everybody, it made no difference whether they're lost or saved, if they come in his office and they say, "I said, what is wrong with you?" "I think I'm having a heart attack. I got this awful pain in my chest." He said, without exception, lost and saved, every man and woman that made a confession were in the stages from the first to a last stage of a heart attack. But he said, without fail, every person, lost or saved, that come in that says, "I've got chest pain, but I need you to find out what's wrong with me. Do you think you're having a heart attack?" "Oh, no, no, no. I got a good heart. I know there's nothing wrong with my heart." He said, without exception, none of those people had any damage to their heart whatsoever. 100% of the time, he said, this has worked. And he wrote a book called Hung by Your Tongue. It's very little bitty tiny book. It ain't that thick. But it's a really good little book. And it all is based around Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whatever you say with your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. But not only is your miracle in your mouth, your sickness is in your mouth. When the pain hits you, if you confess, contrary to what the Word says, it will bring sickness and disease to you. It will do it. So don't let it do it. I'm going to hit just a couple of these powerful scriptures here. I want you to turn to Matthew 8. And I want you to see in Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says, "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." Now, most people today in the church do not believe you can have a demon or a devil living in your body. But that's your problem. Demons, these little critters are your problem. You can have one. That's absolutely what our problem is. If you have sickness and disease, what it is a demon that's inside your flesh. I know I asked the Lord that question. I asked every preacher I knew that question. I didn't ever get an answer I thought was good. So finally went to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you got to tell me." And all these preachers say, if I'm a Christian, I can't have a demon living in me. But I said, I don't think that's true, and I got to know the truth. So one day when I was reading, I came to the spirit of infirmity in Luke 13:11, and actually Luke 11:13, No, it is 13:11. Luke 13:11. And when I got to that scripture, the woman which had the spirit of infirmity for all those years, the Lord spoke to me and says, you have one of those living in your body. And I found out right there a sickness I had had in my body for years, which I could not get rid of, was a demon spirit living in my body. And he told me he said, in my name, you have authority over it. And I spoke to my body that night, kicked that demon out of me, and that beast left me at the command in the name of Jesus. And I did it in the name of Jesus, and it left, and I never had it again in 25 years. It left. Now then, how much power do you have in the name of Jesus? All power. So when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word. How are you going to cast them out of you? With the word. You're going to speak to them in the name of Jesus, and they're going to go away. That's just like the other day I got a letter or email from a guy out in California. We were out in California speaking for about a week. And one of the school teachers, he said, you know, after I heard what you said about these demons, he said, I'm a school teacher and I'm in three different classrooms. And I forget now the ages, but there was three different age levels that he taught in three different classrooms. And he said, it is absolute chaos in my classrooms. So he said, after hearing what you said and the power we have over the devil and the demons, he said, I went into each classroom, anointed the doors with oil, commanded every demon to check himself at the door. You will not come back in my classroom because I'm a man of God. In the name of Jesus, you beast, you're out of here. You're not going to mess with these children. I don't care what kind of legal rights you have. When you walk in that door, I'm in authority in this classroom and I'm a man of God and you devils will stay out in the name of Jesus. He said, that was the best day. I did that, and he said that was the best day I'd ever had in that classroom. He said there was one little boy that I could never keep his attention. He would never do nothing. And he said he'd come in, sat down, and he was a perfect little attentive boy, and he listened, and he'd done his homework. He said, I saw such a tremendous change in that boy. He said, Thurman, what I learned from you and while you were out here in California has changed my life forever. He said, I won't never be the same. But all I told him was what had been written in the Word for thousands of years. Jesus said, behold, in Luke 10, 19 and 20. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, behold, I give unto you power to tread on the devil and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this fact that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Now, how much power do you have over the devil? How much? Is that good news? Ooh! So when the devil shows up at your house, what do you do to him? Take authority over him. That's right. You know, when the devil shows up in your children and start tearing stuff up, and you try to get your children to do something, and they won't do something, just bring your little child over and say, son, come over here. In the name of Jesus, you devil of hell, let's mess with his mind. Out. Out. This is our home. You have no right here. Get out in the name of Jesus, and don't you come back. And you'll be amazed at what will happen. You'll be able to see a change. You'll be able to see a change. See, the Lord even told us, take the rod of correction. It'll drive the evil far from your children. Did he say that? So if you don't ever drive the devils out of your children, guess where they're going to stay? In your children. And when they get grown, you'll have some little hellions in your house. You know, you'll have some little devils in there. You know, and things won't be good. That it says in verse 17 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses, why do you have it? Why do you have it? Kick it out in the name of Jesus. You see where I'm coming from? You know what we do? A sickness comes upon us. Pain comes upon us. You know what we do? We say, oh, woe is me. Honey, I need you to run me down to the doctor. I don't feel too good today. Instead of saying, honey, you get a hold of me and kick this devil out of me. I'm a daughter of the King. You're a son of the King of the universe. Now, this devil ain't going to do this to us. We're going to get rough with him. He's coming out in the name of Jesus. And guess what happens when you do something in faith? He goes away.
What was the last reference, please?
Luke chapter 10. Oh, the last one was verse Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. In Matthew 8:17. Now, if Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses, he didn't plan for you to be sick, did he? Well, now let's see what you have to do to make that come to pass. Because he tells us in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, he tells us, 1 Peter 2:21, I'll give you a second to get over there to that, because you need to see these things in your own Bible. 1 Peter 2:21, now I had spoken verse 24 a lot of times in my life, and one day the King spoke to me in a healing school and said, son, would you start in verse 21 instead of 24? I said, oh. Okay, so after I went back up and read verse 21 through 24, I found out why he said start in verse 21. Because I wasn't quite doing it his way. And he hates to be, you know, misinterpreted. So in 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Is that what he said? You're supposed to follow in his steps? Well, now somebody said, well, now I wonder what he meant by that. Well, he didn't leave anything for you to guess at. The next verse, it says, who did no sin. How much sin did he do? So how much sin are you supposed to have? How much?
None.
Can you do that? You're going to do it, aren't you? You want that girl healed, you're going to do it. The price will be tough. But you can do it. And when you find out, you've got to do it his way. Who did no sin. You're to have no sin in your life. None. As a son of God. Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Boy, that's going to be a tough one, isn't it? You've got to be careful what you say.
We're going to have to stop right there for today. But we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.